going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And good morning. I am joined this morning from the University of Minnesota. Mary Meyer is back with us. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Good morning, Denny. Wow, what a great day for gardening.
I guess it is. I got to get to it like a lot of folks.
we have long lists now, right?
And the good news, if there's other, that get it done, well, not get it done, we'll get a start on it today. And more showers are on the way, especially Monday. So things are greening up, aren't they?
Yes, it's wonderful to see things greening up. Yep.
All right, let's, as usual, Mary, invite our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and you know if you're a regular listener how busy the show gets, call or text, Mary, 651-461-9226. What else is going on as we await calls and texts, Mary?
Oh, lots going on. There's lots going on at the Arboretum. And yesterday, Denny, I was at a plant show. The Horticulture Society had their spring gala. Lots of new plants. Oh, it's so tempting. As gardeners, we love new plants. There's so many new hydrangeas. I got a new Durvilla, which is a native, some people call that honeysuckle. But yeah, so many new plants. And of course, you know, my garden has changed this year because I have more sun because I lost a couple of ash trees, people lost the ash trees. So, you know, this is the time to think about planting a replacement tree. If you've lost an ash, or even if you're treating an ash tree, that's great if you're treating it to hopefully prevent the emerald ash borers, but you know, it's never too early to plant a tree as far as thinking about what other diverse types of trees you can put in your yard or replacement trees. So great time to be thinking about that, especially if you've got an ash nearby.
I've used the University of Minnesota website, the Extension website, to find out some trees that I was interested in. So that's a good resource, isn't it?
It's a great resource. Julie has her landscape finder there, which has been totally redone for looking up plants, a huge database of plants with pictures. And you can put in criteria there and then, height, flowering time, fall color, things like that. So it's a wonderful resource. And you can find that at extension.umn.edu.
Absolutely. We're getting calls and text as we go. Let's grab this first text that came in earlier. A texter has a raspberry patch that has outlived itself that they want to dig up. The roots are so entangled, I can hardly get a pitchfork in. Would Roundup work? If not, what else do you think?
Well, Roundup will work, but Roundup is the chemical that is taken up by green tissue. So you've got to have at least 6 inches of green or lots of leaves there to take up the chemical. And you might see a little bit of growth on your raspberries, but probably not much. The other thing is that you have to really be careful in reading the label for what temperature is required for that chemicals to work. So usually that's above 50 degrees. So you just have to make sure that the timing you put that on will work. You know, as tough as it is, the other thing you can do, it is tough to dig up those roots, but the other thing you can do is try mowing it off. You know, when you got a mower or some type of a trimmer or even, head shears, just repeatedly cut off the plants and mow them off, cut them off. That's a way to really weaken them. So that might help you.
Very good. Let us take a phone call this morning. Gary from White Bear Lake, I believe, is on the horn. Gary, thank you. What's your question for Mary?
Hi, good morning. We have about 12 junipers planted on a little slope down by our pond. And over the winter, they're about four years old, and they've done quite well. But over the winter, about half of them turned yellow or gold color. Is that something we can deal with, or...?
You know, Gary, it depends on what type of juniper it is. Sometimes the winter coloration on junipers will change. Some people find this attractive, but in your case, it's like they're looking like, are they really okay? I would wait and see, because many times juniper will change color and revive itself. Many times if a branch is dead, the rest of it will be green and growing. So I would wait and see what happens. Junipers are very tough, but this winter we had an open winter. We were way behind with our snowfall. So lots of evergreens are showing damage this year. So we see that out at the Arboretum. We see that on many plants. So I would wait and see. And you will know by the middle of June. You know, if you can wait that long, I would do that. You'll know by the middle of June what's dead or alive. And you can do some pruning and tell if the branch is dead with no green on the inside. So I would give it a few more weeks.
Very good. Bill in Elk River wants to know, what's the best method to get rid of buckthorn? Boy, that's tough stuff.
It's very tough stuff. So pulling it out when it's young, when the plants are small, actually removing it roots and all, I think is the best way. If you have really big plants, then cutting them off and treating the stump with a chemical for stump treatment will really help kill the plant from resprouting. Buckthorn is another thing. You can continually mow that off. I have buckthorn in some of my back lawn that even though we mow the lawn, that darn buckthorn is still growing in the lawn. So it is a very tough plant, but trying to get it out, roots and all, is really the best.
Yeah, absolutely, but a tough one. Another phone call, Judith calling in from St. Louis Park this morning. Thank you, Judith. What is your question for Mary?
I have a couple. One, my son lives in Texas, and he plants seeds inside on his porch. And they get up to be a half an inch, and then all of a sudden they wilt and die, and he can't figure out what he's done wrong. The other question is, after your amaryllos bloom, and they have all these green leaves, do you leave it in the sun, in a pot, or what do you do with it after?
Okay, we got a little background noise there because of the radio. But what do you think? What do you think, Mary?
Okay, so Judith, I think with the seeds, it's a fungal disease called damping off. And this is exactly what you describe. You get a young plant looking good, and then all of a sudden it wilts and dies. This is actually something that's in the soil. So I would encourage him to think about using a different type of soil mix. So if you can use a synthetic soil mix, so this is something you buy in a bag, there's less disease in that soil mix. And so a new soil mix is what I'd recommend. And then make sure that the seedlings are in good sun conditions with lots of ventilation. So that will help as well. And the amaryllis, yes, you can grow your amaryllis outside in the summer. Gradually increase it to full sun conditions or some sun conditions. You bring it back in the fall, and many people get their amaryllis to flower again. But it's very sensitive to cold, so it's like a tropical, so you can't really put it out until we, like Memorial Day.
Very good. Let's take a quick break. It's going to be a nice day today, sunny near 65. We're at 45 right now, and we'll be back in a moment with more Smart Garden, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, presented by Great Garage Floors. Danny Long, along with Mary Meyer from the U of M, answering those questions, and we have so many already, Mary. You're going to be busy. We could probably do, what, 3-4 more hours maybe, and some folks would love it, I know. Andy, Linda's would not like it, but other folks would. How do I get rid of quackgrass, Texter wants to know. In order to seed the lawn, do I need to dig it up?
Oh, quackgrass is just as bad as buckthorn, I think. Two are very, very tough weeds. If you cut quackgrass short, it doesn't like that. So keeping it less than 3 inches, that's like the easy way out, to mow it often and keep it really short. It doesn't like that. Quackgrass has this huge rhizome root system. It's really hard to get rid of. And even if you break up the root system and pull out a big piece, but you leave a little piece, the little piece can still grow. So it is hard to get rid of the whole thing. So you can try digging it out. You can try mowing really short. The chemical to kill it is going to kill all of your other grass as well. Mostly that's what homeowners can get. So the chemical Roundup or glyphosate, you put that on, it will kill quackgrass. You need 6 inches of green quackgrass to take up that chemical. And again, it's got to be warm when you put it on. You have to read the label and follow directions carefully, and it has to dry before it rains. Now, you can get a dauber, or you can put this on with not spraying the whole thing, but just very carefully putting the chemical right on the quackgrass. If you do that, you know, you have to be real careful not to hit the good grass around it. But that is one chemical that will kill it. Otherwise, cutting it low or trying to dig it out.
Okay. Texter wants to know, is it too early to put young vegetable seedlings outside for a few hours on these warm days?
You can start hardening off your seedlings now, the cool season ones especially. And depending on how protected and warm it is, you could even put tomatoes or peppers out. We know that the cool weather conditions is great in hardening the plants. But when I say cool, I mean, 50 degrees or more is good. And the cool season ones can take into the 40s. So things like spinach, radishes, the cole crops, cauliflower, broccoli, and so on, they can take the cooler conditions. But yes, hardening off is a great thing to do. It's kind of like us getting a suntan, but you can't just take a plant that's been growing indoors and put it outside in the sun and expect it to be okay. It needs that conditioning time.
Okay, very good. Listener wants to know, Mary, what is the name of the grass with tall tan stems and large white plumes on top? I see it in large clumps, Texter says.
Well, depending on how tall it is, if it's real tall, like a person, as tall as a person, and it has the feathery seed heads, that's probably an Asian grass, which is Miscanthus. Miscanthus is not native to Minnesota, but it is noticeable now. You can see it. There's some of it is naturalized along highways. So the Asian grass, Miscanthus, M-I-S-C-A-N-T-H-U-S. It might be Miscanthus. If it's shorter and it's just 4 feet tall and still has the tan stems, it looks more like wheat. That is another non-native grass, Calamagrostis, named after Carl Forster, a German plantsman. And that is very much a bunch grass. It's shorter, but it's planted and quite ubiquitous now around Minnesota. Both of these are good grasses. We also have a lot of other native grasses that you can use. And you might know that I love grasses.
Yes,
and I have been honored to manage the collection that's at the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. So we burned the collection this week out there at the Arboretum. So now there's not much to see, but come this fall, you can identify any grasses out there in the Arboretum's grass collection.
I'm glad there was a texter for that, because I know that's the close to your heart for sure.
Yes.
Now, do those particular grasses need full sun?
They do better in full sun, yes. We actually have an arbor that has our shade grasses and lots of sedges that tolerate shade. But most of the grasses do better in full sun,
right.
Yes.
Let's take a phone call again this morning. Monica checking in from Bloomington. Monica, good morning. You are on with Mary.
Good morning. I have questions regarding reseeding the grass. And I think when I was putting my question into the studio, I think you were talking about some kind of grasses. But my question is, do we always need to dethatch the lawn before you reseed and then aerate? We've never done that to our yard, and I guess I'd like to know the purpose of that. And then the type of seed. We have mostly sun in our yard and some shade under our, you know, our ash tree. So that's, I guess, what I'd need to know.
Thanks, Monica, for your question. So reseeding, the important thing is that you have good soil contact with the seed. So if you're thinking of reseeding, in my mind, this means you have some open patches or some bare patches in your lawn. So as long as the grass gets onto the soil, I wouldn't worry about dethatching and aeration. Mostly dethatching and aeration are, they're two different things. Dethatching is not needed very often unless you've got a really thick old lawn and you dig around in the grass and you can't even find soil. So this is the buildup of grass that's there. Then you can think about dethatching. It's really not usually needed. Aeration is the digging out of the plugs, and actually a machine that goes in and pulls out plugs, things that look about the size of your finger. It pulls out the soil and it creates air spaces for the grass to grow. And these plugs are then just thrown on top of the grass. And this is done a lot in golf courses and lawns that are older and well-established. You need to make sure that the soil has good, the seed has good soil contact. So aeration might be a step necessary for you to get that on your lawn for the seed to really germinate. And then the type of seed, you have sun and some shade. So I would recommend a combination of grass seeds. So Kentucky bluegrass is our standard, perennial rye, and then the fine fescues. So those three in combination are great to use. My number one preferred is the fine fescues, and that's basically the shady lawn mixes will be a blend or mixture of the fine fescues. So fine fescues will grow in sun or shade. They're low maintenance. They're really the finer blades of grass. But a mixture, in your case, I think, is a good bet.
Very good. Mary, hang on, please. We're going to take a break for that forecast, and we'll come back with more of our Smart Garden Show today, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show this Saturday morning. Denny Long, along with Mary Meyer from the U of M, answering those lawn and garden questions here on our Smart Garden Show. And as usual, Mary, callers and texters, a lot of them. I wanted to get this text that came in earlier today, catching up on some of these. Texter wants to know, would it do any good to put 10-10-10 on my lilacs that have wood chips all around them?
Well, it might. The real thing is your soil deficient in nutrients? And in Minnesota, we have so much high phosphorus soils that usually one of those three numbers, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, So maybe you might need the nitrogen, but you really don't know. I would recommend a soil test before adding a fertilizer, unless sometimes with containers we know we have to fertilize, it's a different situation. But I would recommend a soil test before fertilizing. You can put on a little bit and it won't hurt anything, but it's often not needed for all three of those elements. Lilacs have had a tough time with the warmer weather conditions that we've had and erratic rainfall. So usually it isn't the fertilizer that's a limiting factor. It's more environmental conditions making them difficult to grow.
Yeah, it's been tough in a couple of years. I tell you what, we have a couple of phone calls. Let's see what those folks want. Barbara, first up, calling in from Hudson. Thanks for waiting, Barbara. What is your question?
Yes, I have a young maple blaze tree. This is the second spring. Should I fertilize it with the spikes? I'm not sure what to, do with it.
Well, there again, Barbara, I wouldn't. Fertilizer is usually not the limiting thing with young trees getting established. Water has been the limiting thing. And with maples, they have such thin bark. We often have to be careful with them in the wintertime with their bark cracking or getting sun scald with the bark with young maples. But if you're worried about fertilizer, again, I would have a soil test done to see if that's a limiting factor. Otherwise, I would just make sure that it gets adequate water, because unfortunately, there's still a lot of the state where we have, we're really just on the borderline between drought conditions now.
Okay. Thanks, Barbara. Ed is calling in from Worthington, Minnesota this morning. Thank you, Ed. What is your question for Mary Meyer?
Yes, on fern peonies, can I take a cut of it and start it? And what's the right time for doing so?
Oh, Ed, yeah, good for you. I have never rooted a cutting from a peony from the stem. And I'm not sure, oh my gosh, if any of our listeners have done that, I'd be interested in knowing. Most of the time, the peony propagation is from the roots, using a piece of the root or the big tuber that's down there with a peony. So I think you'd have better luck with that than a cutting. The fern peonies are certainly beautiful. They're wonderful. But I would think of trying more a division from the root. In other words, cutting off one of the stems and the roots when it comes up. And if you can see two or three stems now growing from the ground, I would take a spade or a trowel and carefully cut off that and use that as a way to make a second plant from a fern peony.
Okay, very good. This is a long question. I dormant seeded last fall, but nothing has sprouted. Should seeds be growing by now here in the metro?
I don't think so. No? The soil temperature is still cold. I put my soil thermometer out this morning, and even in the big containers I have on my back porch, there the soil is still like 40 degrees. So soil is still cold. So our grass seed germination really doesn't happen until we get up into the 70s, and that needs to be consistently in the 70s. So I think you're fine. Just keep waiting, and hopefully the sun will warm things up.
Patience.
Okay. Yes.
Mary, a listener wants to know, can you divide and transplant ornamental grasses?
Yes. In fact, we will put the shovels in the ground this week at the Arboretum to start division on the cool season grasses first. So Calamagrostis, the Carl Forrester, the fescues, some of the sedges, we will start the divisions now. So they have just started to grow, many of the cool season ones. The warm season grasses like the blue stem, miscanthus, that Asian grass I talked about, Sorghastrum, the yellow prairie grass, prairie drop seed. Those warm season grasses, they won't start to grow till another 3 or 4 weeks. You can divide them in the spring. I usually wait till I can just see them start to grow, and then it's easier to divide a grass when you can see what's dead and what's alive. So just as it starts to green up is a good time to divide it.
Another listener wants to know, Mary, is it too early to plant canna lily bulbs?
Yes, I think it is. The cannas and the calla lily, both of those are tropicals. They like warm conditions. You could start those indoors, in a pot indoors, and put them in a sunny location. Some people do that because these are long growing season things, but they like warm soil. And so we're talking definitely above 60 and preferably 70 degrees warm, so warm soil. So probably not maybe another month until our soil is consistently warm outside.
Okay. A listener says this via the text, I have some wild geranium roots. Can I plant them in containers that are about 12 inches across?
Yes, do that. I bought a wild geranium yesterday at the Hort Society's Garden Gala. A wild geranium is one of our wonderful wildflowers. It can spread. It's a great plant, and they're just starting to come up outdoors in the wild now, as are many of our wonderful early season wildflowers.
To help, listener says, to help the hibernating pollinators, when is it safe to remove leaves from the garden beds? I've heard it's safe when you see the first bumblebee. Do you think that's true?
Yes and no. So yes, there are bees out now that have come, and they come, of course, with the warmer weather conditions. Removing leaves is really okay once the weather is warm. It's actually the stems. The little woody stems that are left up there, even hostas, many of our native wildflowers, blazing star, liatris, bergamot, things like that. We now know that many pollinators, many bees nest in the stems of wildflowers and plants. And so if you remove the stems, you can just chop and drop. You can cut them off and drop them there. But yes, once the bees have started coming out, I don't think they're all out yet. They're just starting to come out. But we know now that removing all of the stems, it can be detrimental.
Interesting. Do you recommend, listener wants to know, leaving leaves on our perennial garden beds rather than removing and adding compost?
You know, it depends. I certainly leave more leaves on now than I used to 10 years ago. So I kind of take off about half of them, and then I leave half of them there. The other thing is that I have a really dry area, and if I leave the leaves on, it helps to keep the moisture in the soil, especially in the springtime. So I take about half of the leaves off now. And leaves will decompose. That takes them quite a long time. But I would say if you have access to compost, I would do a combination of leaves and compost. Compost has more nutrients available because it is decomposed. Leaves will get there, but, you know, not for a couple of years.
Okay. Is it possible, listener says, or asks, to keep the bulb from a potted plant and get it to bloom again, or is it one and done?
It depends on the kind of plant it is. So the amaryllis, if you have a sunny location, that you can get that to bloom again. If it's tulips, like the spring tulips that would come in pots, tulips, crocus, daffodils will come in a pot. Those are much harder to do. Might work with the crocus and daffodils, much harder with the tulips. But you can always take them out of the pot, put them outside, and then see how they do. Still pretty cold to to do that, to actually put things in the ground that have been growing inside. But you could try it in probably mid-May, I'd put them out.
Oh, okay. Very good. Hang on, Mary, please. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Right now, 45 degrees in the Twin Cities, heading to 65. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show this Saturday, the 26th of April. And Mary Meyer has been answering all of those questions this morning. And we still have so many, Mary. Let's see how many more folks we can help before you take your leave. Is it a good time, texter wants to know, to put weed and feed on my lawn?
It's too early for weed and feed. So if you read the label on that, that will talk about air temperatures. And it's really too early. The ideal time to put fertilizer on for lawns is really August and September. You can do spring fertilization, and the spring is certainly when the grasses are greening up and starting to grow. So the fertilizer would be, you could do that earlier, but if it's a weed control issue, that needs to be warmer temperature. So follow the directions that are on the label for timing on that.
A lot of lawn questions coming up here as far as best soil temperature to apply crabgrass preventer. They're in the St. Peter, Minnesota area.
Yeah, so this I would do that. You could, the pre-emergence weed control is a totally different thing than what's in weed and feed. So the pre-emergence is you create that barrier across the soil for germinating weed seeds, especially crabgrass. And so, yes, so the timing now is to do that. It's early to do that, but between now and May 15th, crabgrass is going to start germinating, so you want to put that pre-emergence control on now. Yes. I was looking up, we have the lawn care newsletter in the extension.unn.edu website, and that's a great resource to look at. And there is, it comes out of Wisconsin, there is a map that shows the soil temperatures and crabgrass germination across the U.S. So I don't think this crabgrass is germinated in Minnesota, maybe southern Minnesota, but the timing is now to do the pre-emergence weed control.
Mary, I want to ask you what's going on at the Arboretum. I know we've got so many questions via phone and text. What is happening?
The Arboretum. Of course, things are really starting to bloom and look great out there. Today's a big Arbor Day celebration. I think that's why I was thinking about tree planting earlier when we talked about that. So you can get a free tree at the Arboretum today. There's also a tree walk, a tree discovery center for kids. And the trees are bare root. They're small. They look like a little stick, but bare rooting is a great we could do a whole show on planting bare root trees, Denny. That's a great way to plant trees. So there are also lots of the wildflowers are starting to bloom. Magnolias are out. Great day to visit the Arboretum and take a walk. And also, you'll note on the Arboretum website where you can get tickets. Tickets are available for every half hour today, tomorrow, and upcoming as well. So you do need a ticket on the weekends or a timed entry to go to the Arboretum. But you'll notice on the website also there's Building a Better Arboretum information. So there's some construction, road construction south of the Arboretum. They're paving 82nd Street. The entry to the Arboretum is just normal, no problem, easy to get in there. It's the same right now. But in the future, there'll be some changes. There's a new entry going to go in the Arboretum, but that won't happen for several months. So right now, the entry is all clear. Just make sure you do your timed reservations. And, of course, if you're a member, members get in free, and you can join today if you're not a member.
Had about a minute and a half to go, and speaking of the Arboretum, I'm looking at a text that said, would you please ask Mary why they burn areas at the Arboretum?
Yes, so I mentioned the grass collection being burned. We burned the prairie areas and the grass collection. It's timing in the spring or in the fall. That's for the best health of those plants that are there. So it's grasses love being burned. They just come back with tremendous vigor because the tops are all dead. So things that the tops die on them, like grasses, they get really rejuvenated from burning. And so it's part of the regular plant maintenance.
1 minute to go. Texter says, ask this, is it a good time to plant perennials or should I wait until the ground is warmer?
I would wait until the ground is warmer. If you can hold them, if they're in containers, I would wait until the ground's warmer. The only exception are the bare root plants. So plants that have nothing around them and the roots are bare, you need to soak those in water for a few hours, and then I would go ahead and plant those if it's bare root. But if it's a container, I would wait. Or, you know, you could, if you don't have a soil thermometer, you can feel the soil with your hand. And if it's cold, that's really a shock. But it will warm up quickly now in the next 10 days
All
or
right.
so.
Let's hope so. Mary, you have to run. Thank you so much. Always fun.
Always a pleasure. Love to talk about gardening. Thank you, Denny.
Thank you, Mary. Mary Meyer from the U of M. Now, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Linda's next hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO.